It was Christmas Day in 1863 in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The house nor the man's white full beard did little in stopping the cold from piercing through. Had it been a sunshine-filled day, the aging man still would have felt numb inside. Very much against his will, he had grown used to it. He remembered a year earlier recording in his journal, "A Merry Christmas, say the children. But that is no more for me." He pondered how the last year had gone by so slow as he scratched his beard, his fingers perforating the coarse hair, touching his scarred skin beneath. Although his first wife died due to a miscarriage 28 years earlier, it was the loss of his second wife, Frances, or Fanny, as he called her, that was still too fresh to pretend that time had brought healing. They had been married for 18 years, and they had been good and happy times filled with children, joy, and even vocational success. But just 2.5 years ago, all of that had changed. Nearly all he loved was lost. He had hardly written anything since then. The silence in the house made the crackling fire seem even louder. And like always, whenever the old man gazed into a fireplace, the memories of his sweet Franny were sparked afresh in his mind. He remembered waking up from a nap in his bed to hear his wife scream. By the time he had gotten to her, she was engulfed in flames. And while he desperately tried to put out the fire with a rug and then his own body, by the time the fire was extinguished, Fanny was holding on to life, and he himself suffered severe burns to his hands and to his face. Fanny had been saving locks of their children's hair in envelopes, sealing it with hot wax, when somehow her dress caught fire. Once the fire was out, there was hardly any clothing left. Her black and red body was placed in bed, and they waited for the doctor to arrive. Fanny died the next day around 10 in the morning. How the old man hated his last memories of her. While Fanny did speak a few times before she died, all he could remember was her charred body, and what he couldn't get out of his head were her screams. Not only did the loss of his wife haunt the old man, but he nearly lost his oldest son just months ago. His son's name was Charles, and he had joined the Union Army without his father's blessings. Not long after he left to serve the country, the old man received word that Charles had been severely injured in battle in the same November. He traveled to Washington to retrieve his son from the hospital. Although he was thankful that his son was still alive, any possibility that his son might not recover was too much to bear. The father returned his son to their home in Cambridge on December 8th. It was all overwhelming. His lovely wife had been violently taken from him. His son had nearly died and still might not recover. His country was in the midst of a brutal civil war, and many of its souls were treated like property instead of people. God, why? The world was not fair. It was cold and dark and evil. At times the old man worried that he wouldn't make it. Thoughts of being placed into an asylum tormented him. And while he frequently resorted to opium and ether to combat his grief, they wore off and the stress, fear, and anxiety eventually returned. With that, the memories returned as well. The screams of his wife slowly beginning to fill his ears. But then the crackling of the fire and the wind outside were faintly interrupted. The old man picked up his head to hear what seemed to be distant and far away. He walked over to the window. Ever so slightly, the sound became more clear and discernible, and it seemed to be in a rhythm. The wind had momentarily stopped as if to encourage him to listen intently. It was bells. They began to drown out all other sounds, both in the house and in his mind. Out of nowhere, a sense of joy coursed through the old man's mind, then followed by thoughts of hope. No doubt he had heard the Christmas bells ringing about a mile away from the churches in Boston. He knew them. They were familiar, and now they resonated in his heart. The old man was not delusional enough to think that upon hearing the Christmas bells, his pain would be forever taken away, but something had definitely happened. Something inside of him had turned from night to day. Taken back by his feelings of his present comfort and promising future, the man quickly snatched a piece of paper. And with that, he grabbed his pen and began to write, almost as if he had never stopped. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Henry Longfellow wrote the poem Christmas Bells on Christmas Day in 1863. But it wasn't published until February of 1865. And in fact, while Christmas was loosely celebrated by most people in the States, it wasn't until 1870 that it became an official federal holiday. This was one way President Grant attempted to unite the nation after the war. Since then, Christmas Bells has been put to music, having become a timeless Christmas song that continues to be sung today. And I think one reason it resonates with us is because it doesn't pretend that the world has no problems. It's not talking about a red-nosed reindeer or some snowman smoking a corncob blunt. You know, the song acknowledges issues of personal and national pains. And because of these afflictions, we can really so easily despair. We can bow our heads in shame and in hopelessness. The effects of godlessness and the effects of sin are very real. Both that which we have done to others and that which has been done to us. And it's only because sin is strong that led Longfellow to write, "Hate is strong." And all of this culminates in us thinking that the promises of God are being mocked. We are always tempted to do this when our faith is tested. The people in Jeremiah's day said, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come." They said this in Jeremiah chapter 17 because they couldn't see it because times were hard. Likewise, the people in Malachi's days, when Malachi prophesied, he was prophesying about 400 years before Jesus came. And people were saying, "Look at all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and in them he delights." Or they would say, "Where is the God of justice?" They're saying, everyone who does evil is prosperous and they're doing well. And those of us who are doing good and trusting in God's promises, we're pretty much as of nothing. Where is the word of God? The Jewish people were awaiting a leader, a redeemer, a savior. They were looking for scriptures to be fulfilled in a prophet or a priest or a rabbi or a soldier, someone who would fit the bill to lead the Jewish nation out of Roman rule. They were not looking for a baby born to an unknown and poor girl who was pregnant before she was even married. And even as Jesus grew, he grew older, he grew in wisdom, and he eventually became a prophet, and he eventually became a rabbi, even though he really didn't go to seminary, people still failed to see the promise of God being fulfilled in him. And even though Jesus was gaining followers and doing amazing miracles, he was still mocked and ridiculed by others. Even at his death, Jesus was mocked. Luke records in chapter 23, verse 36, that the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine. The very promise of God revealed to us in Jesus was mocked before he was born, during his life, and during his death. And even after he resurrected and ascended into heaven, given some time, people began to question the promise of his return. And whether it's the promise of his return or something else, we all question God, and dire circumstances seem to mock his promises to us. Whether it's a divorce, a failed relationship, sick children, the loss of a loved one, life never turns out the way we planned it. So the Apostle Paul strictly writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." The promise of God that Longfellow was questioning was the word of the angel who declared the arrival of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. "Because of Jesus, peace on earth and goodwill towards men was now something that was possible. When Jesus was born, hope was born. True peace was born." Jesus' birth was a fulfilled promise that should continually point us to another future promise. That future promise is that one day the wrongs shall ultimately fail and the rights ultimately prevail. Peace on earth began with Jesus as a baby in a feeding trough and ends with Jesus as king sitting upon the throne. It begins and ends with Jesus. In fact, all of the promises that God has made to us are actually in Jesus alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says, "For all the promises of God in him," that's Jesus, "are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." I'll leave you with one last thought. The promises of God might be right in front of you, but are probably not what you'd expect. So my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that God would allow us to see his promises more clearly in this upcoming year. And I'll end this podcast with my favorite rendition of Longfellow's I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It was actually composed by my two friends, Cameron and Carly. They have this little tiny album, and it's actually tiny because the title is Cameron and Carly Tiny Winter Hymnal. Please go check it out. You can find it on pastemagazine.com or in the notes on this podcast. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll start our series on foundational faith next week in the new year, and I hope you'll join me.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. In wild and sweet, the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men.